Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
And of course, this is Douglas.
And of course, this silence, that's hair that Damien would usually be here. He's not here. He texted me. He's in the chat room right now. He says that there's something going on downtown and he doesn't want to leave home.
Ooh, wow. That doesn't sound very, good.
I thought we were going to make fun of him. Oh, now it's just sad.
No. Now I have to actually go on the intertubes and see what's happening downtown.
The internet help us with something happening locally?
It might. You know, if you know where to look, yes. Maybe. And if I had internet,
Anyways, moving along into the podcast. It's the first real podcast we've done all year since the year started.
Well, not the first real podcast, the first non-themed podcast.
Non-themed.
First, you know, yeah.
So we're back to our usual schedule. Today we'll be talking about Adam later, but right now we'll go into what we watch this week.
Exactly.
And what I watch this week, to start it off with one of, like, must have been one of the most fun films I've seen all week, but it definitely isn't the greatest, a great movie by any standards. It's Lesbian Vampire Killers. And the title alone has
to... For all of you, you know, guys stateside, in your neck of the woods, it's just called...
Vampire Killers. Yeah, look for the movie called Vampire Killers, because it's hilarious. I don't know if they edited it for the US edit.
That's exactly what they did.
No, I mean the actual film, not just the title.
Okay.
You know? But it's hilarious. They're going for the Shaun of the Dead style film, and it made it all the way. Especially the sidekick definitely comes off as a Nick Frost type.
Awesome.
It's pretty hilarious, like, from start to finish. Another film I watched this week was Big Fan. And I definitely was not a big fan of this movie. Yeah, lame. It's, like, I'm a huge sports fan. I'm a fan of people in sports. Like, I'm the biggest Ryan Giggs fan you can find in Jamaica, I think. Man United is my team. But dear God, if I ever turn out to be anything like this man in this film, please smack me across the face somehow. Like, I get it that you see your favorite player from your favorite team across the street. You go like, yeah, that's kind of cool. Maybe you think to yourself, I'll go across the street and say hi. But would you really think to yourself, I will not approach this man now. Instead, I shall follow him across town to some random, most expensive strip club where I will approach him, give him ideas that I did follow him from said point, and then get my ass kicked. And then after getting ass kicked, I'm just not going to do anything. I don't want to sue him. I don't want him to go to jail because he needs to play for my team.
I think that sums up the movie really well, but, you know, Andrew, if you're telling me that you didn't know this before you watched
it. I did know this before I watched the movie.
What's the problem?
But I kind of expected some form of, like, something
to make me like it. I have to stop for a second and just say to Aaron Dedge, I hate you so much right now. Because you have watched The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. Terry Gilliam, please, just give me a screen up.
Maybe soon enough we'll get it too. Just calm down.
Anyway, you're talking about Big Fan.
Big Fan, it's not a good movie. It's not an enjoyable film. The acting, maybe you can look at it as being slightly good, but just the character alone makes you hate yourself for sitting through 90 minutes. Like, really.
Sad. Oh, well.
Also, I saw Primal Fear this week for the first time with Richard Gere and Edward Norton.
Oh, that... Right, yeah, yeah.
It's an amazing film. And to think this Cuba Gooding Jr. in Jerry Maguire beat Edward Norton for the Best Supporting Actor Award this year.
I'm still not sure why Cuba Gooding Jr. got that award. I love that movie, but I watch it again and again and I keep thinking, what's
no,
special
there's
about
not,
Show Me the Money?
Show Me the Money comes nowhere close to Aaron and Roy in Primal Fear. Right? we're huge fans of Edward Norton on his podcast, and this movie gives us even more reason to be huge fans of Edward Norton in this podcast. I was even chuckling to myself while I was watching this movie, thinking, you know, Edward Norton was definitely channeling this role when he was doing the Hulk. Because anytime he gets angry, he turns into Roy. Just like in the Hulk, you turn angry, you roar and become Hulk.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
But it is one of those amazing films, really. And I like Richard Gere in it. He does the Chicago lawyer thing that he did in Chicago, which I like a lot. I mean, instead, he's not singing.
He's not singing?
He's not singing in this one.
So why do you like it? I mean, I don't understand how it can be a movie where there's not singing, but you like it.
Another film I watched this week that you guys have been going on about from last year, A Perfect Getaway. I saw this movie, and yes, I definitely saw everything coming that was coming.
Yeah.
And my problem with it was that I totally just wasn't enjoying myself for the first hour waiting for it to come. But then the moment it happened, I loved how they did it and how they had this going back in time and showing us how everything fit in properly. And I guess it also helps that I'm a huge fan of Steve Zahn and Timothy Olyphant, because those are two fun actors. And come on, the dude's a Jedi. It's not the greatest film. Like, definitely go and pick it up for a rental. Check it out. Watch it on, like, a Friday night when you have nothing to do or some. It's a fun movie, at least.
Yeah, it is. I really enjoyed that movie. I think more so than you, but at the same time, I'd say the same exact type of qualification. It's not a great film.
And two last films I want to mention. In my Kurosawa marathon, I watched Throne of Blood, which is Kurosawa's adaptation of William Shakespeare's Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a huge fan of this film. And I've heard from people who I spoke to about this, because I haven't actually read Macbeth, that most of my complaints that I had with the film are complaints more of the source material than Kurosawa. Because, I mean, Mifune is amazing in the film, as usual. I've seen so far 5 Kurosawa films in total, 3 for the marathon, another one I'm going to mention. And I've seen Mifune in, I think, 2 films so far. He was in Rashomon, and he's now in this one. And everyone touts him as this amazing actor. I agree, he is an amazing actor, and he was great in this film. But just the story and the character just didn't, like, just felt stupid. Like, seriously.
So are you saying that William Shakespeare is stupid?
Yes, and just like Blackadder, I will build a time machine, go back in time, and smack William Shakespeare for all the schoolboys all across the world and the universe. Another Kurosawa film I've seen, which I still haven't done the write-up for, I should, is Madadayo. It's his last film he directed. I felt I should really check it out, because since it's his last one. And I also wasn't a fan of this film. Like, it's about a guy in retirement, and it's really supposed to showcase all of the Japanese culture and how it is. But it just felt really weird to watch this guy. I mean, the character himself was really fun to be with. The professor, they call him. I can't remember his real name. It starts at the beginning of the film is him teaching his last class. And then he's off on retirement to go writing. And then, like, it's during the war in Japan, so things happen to him, and his former students always come up to help him out with everything. Like, I felt almost like I wanted to know what he did to these students back, did to these people when they were students, because there must have been more than just a regular teacher-student relationship going on here. Because I'm sure none of your students, when you retire, are going to be coming up to you and building you houses and all sorts of madness.
What are you talking about? Of course.
Just because you taught him.
Start saving slowly, but surely, like the tortoise. Not the hare, the tortoise.
It wasn't as long as most Kurosawa films are. I imagine most Kurosawa films are from 2.5 to 3.5 hours long. This movie was like 2 hours long and change. But it still felt really long watching it, just because it just bored me. I mean, and Ryan in the chat room, Seven Samurai is a film I'm going to be ending my marathon with, so I'm getting there, okay? Yeah, that's what I saw this week.
What did I see this week? Actually, I've seen some of this stuff this week, and a smattering of other stuff over the weeks that we didn't talk about what we saw this week. So I'm kind of going to lump everything together, or not everything, because I've seen more things, but some of the ones that stood out, I guess, in my head. First and foremost, I watched Harvey recently, and that movie was really, really, really good. You know, the lead, he just was always, it was funny how he always sounded like he was this wise, you know, 70 or 80 year old person that had been through so much in his life, but clearly if you look at him, he's like, you know, 40 maybe, he's middle aged. And I like that about his character.
Yeah.
And of course, it was funny to see everybody get freaked out by the fact that he's talking to an imaginary rabbit. I also watched Eagle vs. Shark, which is a New Zealand film by the same guy, Taika
Wambach?
Taika Waititi. I think I actually did touch on the fact that I've seen this movie now that I think about it. But it was good enough for me to say it again. Jermaine Clement, of course, is in this film, who is one of the most hilarious New Zealanders I've ever seen on TV. And I've probably seen 3 or 4 and all of them from Flights of the Conchords. So that might not be a good...
I was about to ask, how many New Zealanders have you seen on TV?
Yes. But no, this movie is... It's a little bit odd. It's definitely more... not quite cringe humor, but something pretty close. And... It's more like, what the hell are they thinking type of humor. You know, almost like The Office... And not quite as, you know, cringeworthy as Borat. But I liked it. I thought it was okay. Not the greatest film, but still something. Still up there. Yeah. I also watched Last House on the Left. Which, I mean... No, this clearly is not a great movie by any shakes. But it held my attention. Fun movie. You know, you got to see somebody's head explode in a microwave. And that's always a good thing. Always.
No spoiler note?
No, because it's in the trailer. I also watched Limits of Control, the Jay Jarmusch movie, the latest one. Probably for two reasons. One, for the fact that in the trailer they have this fantastic line where Bill Murray asks the assassin, how did you get here? And the assassin says something like, I used my imagination.
It's kind of like that bit in Black Dynamite. It's in the trailer. That's
okay.
Anything,
okay.
Where, you know, they're like, this is a secret meeting. How'd you get in here? Woke, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Except he's saying it in all seriousness. And the second and probably the more, you know, the bigger reason for me watching it was the fact that my man crush Gael Garcia Bernal is in this film. He, of course, is only in this film for about the same amount of time as almost everybody else, which is 2 minutes. And that makes this movie kind of weird, because there are a lot of, you know, big names in this film. There's like John Hurt, Gael Garcia Bernal, Tilda Swinton, Bill Murray, but all of them, they play very small roles that all kind of waterfall on top of each other.
Yeah.
And the way that Jarmusch does it is kind of weird, because essentially it's the assassin, or I'm assuming he's an assassin, on this journey to find somebody that he's supposed to be killing. And that's all the movie's about, and each person like gives him, I don't even want to call them clues, because clearly somebody arranged this so that like he would go from one place to the other and then find the guy. So it can't be clues, because it's not like he's trying to figure out what's going on. It's just he's being told what to do.
So that was really weird. But I don't know if I could say this is a really good movie. I don't know if I really liked it. I think it is a little bit less than average. But still, it looked good. Okay. Other than that, what did I watch? I watched a movie that I've been meaning to finish for a long, long time. And that is Primal. a nice little indie movie about going back in time, and
I've heard good things about it. Yes, I've never watched it.
Yes, it's really good. It can get really confusing, kind of in the way that they do it, because they go back in time so many times and they do all sorts of things, and they kind of mess around with that whole the paradigm of, you know, can you change things if you go back into the past, and if you change something, will it then, you know, the whole butterfly effect where one teeny tiny change here will balloon out somewhere else. They kind of play with those type of theories and notions.
Okay.
And it's, well, it's something. I don't know. I could see people not liking this movie. Me personally, I did. I liked it and definitely want to watch it again.
Damien says he thought it was overly convoluted.
It was. No, it was extremely convoluted, but I still love it anyway. another one that I've been meaning to finish that I keep just catching in parts is Across the Universe that I saw. And that was a fairly decent movie. I don't get the fanaticism. I love the Beatles, and I am fanatic about them. But this movie, it was good, but not great. It does not warrant the type of blind faith and blind praise that I see people like this man to my right, Andrew here, give it. Constantly.
I seriously had that movie on repeat for about a week when I first watched it.
Yes, I know. And last and certainly least was a little film that Andrew told me was great, was extremely funny, was, you know, fantastic. And this movie is Fired Up, or FU for short.
I didn't and say Andrew, it was great.
Andrew, you know what? F you. This movie was horrible.
I didn't say it was great, like, you must see great. I mean, it's funny. It's not... It's funny.
No, it's not.
It's better than you expect when someone tells you, oh, it's a teen comedy about people going to a cheerleading camp.
Actually, no. It's exactly what I expected. Horribleness. Okay?
Damien says he loved Fired Up.
Yes, I can hear the sarcasm in his voice.
And with that, we'll move into news. First thing in news, it's been confirmed from James Cameron down to the studios that Avatar sequels will be coming. He's written a trilogy for this story, and it's broken most box office records that you can think of. It's now number 2, and it only took it 20 days, while The Dark Knight took, 4 or 5 weeks to get there?
Yeah, and I'm sure Titanic took a longer time as well to get up
Titanic
to where it
took
is.
A while.
Yeah.
But, like, we've seen Avatar. Do you really think this story is something that can be made into a trilogy, much less a sequel?
Yes, I do, especially from... I remember there were early articles on the... possibilities of sequels, and there were, you know, looking into what Cameron was saying, and at the time nobody had really made a proper commitment to yes or no there's going to be a sequel. And I remember a lot of people saying that, you know, Cameron keeps talking about the fact that, first of all, it was made in order to make sequels, because the reason that it took them so long was that they built up all of this technology and its infrastructure to model the whole world. And what he was saying was that the reason he got the studios behind it was that he said, okay, it's going to take a really long time to make the first movie, but I'll make 2 or 3 more movies in like a couple extra years, so don't worry. You know? And not just that, they're talking about how, you know, the second movie, the sequel, doesn't have to be a sequel in the traditional sense, you know, like, no...
5 days after.
Exactly, 5 days after, or a year later, this is another story that happens with the Na'vi. No, it could be, you know, something that happens underground in some other section of Pandora. Essentially, Avatar Part 2 would just be another story in the world of Pandora. You know, with, you know, maybe completely different people.
So it's like Phantom Fantasy. It says the same exact story, except just sets it with different people in a different location, different time.
Probably.
And you keep pressing X.
More than likely, yes.
I mean, I love my Final Fantasies, but...
No, I think that could work. I also know that it might not work, but at the same time, if it's in 3D and if James Cameron is doing said 3D, I will watch it.
So what you're saying is you can't wait to see Jackass 3D.
I said if James Cameron is doing 3D. Okay? Listen, you know me and 3D already. I'm still not 100% hooked, but I am hooked on James Cameron 3D. JC3D, that's what I'm hooked on.
No, JCVD.
No, JCVD. Not yet. I still haven't watched JCVD.
You really haven't watched
that movie? No, I haven't.
Oh, you have to watch that movie. It's really awesome. Personally, when I hear this story, I mean, I get what you're saying. It could be cool, and definitely I'd want to see it again.
Yes.
But, I'm skeptical to see a sequel of this because it felt so self-contained.
I'm sure they thought Pocahontas was self-contained. They never thought that anybody would make a sequel to that movie.
I wonder how that did theatrically. Oh wait, that was probably straight to video. Next news item that came out this week is that Warner Brothers has gotten the rights for Sympathy to Mr. Vengeance, the first film in the Vengeance trilogy.
Actually, I've seen articles where they say that they're got the rights or they're getting the rights to all three.
No, they have the rights for the other two already.
Oh, okay.
So they've had Lady Vengeance, and they recently got Old Boy months ago, but now they finally got Mr. Vengeance. So is this all work to make another Vengeance trilogy that
Park Chan-wook
fans will continually hate on?
Probably, possibly. You never know. I don't really care because I still have the first three that I can watch. Even if they come out with three awful ones afterwards.
Actually, the Vengeance trilogy, the original ones, are hitting Blu-ray soon.
I know.
I want those. Even though I still haven't seen Mr. Vengeance, I've only seen Old Boy and Lady Vengeance, which are both amazing movies.
Fantastic.
But seriously, Hollywood, stop the remakes. They're good movies, you don't need to mess them up.
Yeah. Really. Who wants to watch True Grit? Come on. Come on.
But you see, that's different, because I haven't seen True Grit. And I have some sort of mental block against watching John Wayne films. Maybe that's another marathon I should set up for myself.
Speaking of remakes, let's talk about this next article.
Sam Raimi has left Sony's Spider-Man
in a huff
over the script problems. I mean, we had heard stories of Malkovich going to be playing Vulture, and now out of nowhere Sam Raimi says, you know what, I'm done, I don't care anymore, and Spider-Man 4 will be a reboot of this franchise. It's going to be gritty, and apparently they already have a script ready.
Oh, they had a script? Wow. Whoa, I didn't read that. The only extra bit of information I know is that it's in 2012.
It's supposed to come out in 2012, forgot to mention that. So it sounds like the studio was really tired of fighting with Sam Raimi.
No, actually, it more sounds like Sam Raimi was really tired of fighting with the studio. Because
both ways. Yeah, because, I mean, Sam Raimi definitely. I think the studio was more like, we'll put up with it if we can get these things fixed up. Because, I mean, this franchise has made money.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You know what, though? Let's think about this.
It's made around $800 each.
But let's think about this logically. Mm-hmm. Okay? There were three films. Okay? On two of those films, Sam Raimi had, you know, most of the say. Mm-hmm. Both of those films did well financially and critically. Mm-hmm. Then there was a third film where Sam Raimi was pushed.
Financially.
It did the best financially mm-hmm. by miles.
I think if I remember the numbers correctly, and I'm not going to look them up, so whatever. Number one did $820 million. Number
this,
two,
is this just box office?
Yeah, this is box office. Number count. Two did 790 million. Uh-huh. And number three did like 900 something million.
Number three did 900 million. Yeah, but... you see, the thing about it is though, that most people hate that movie.
Most
people hate that movie. So that 900 million doesn't count. Because you know what's going to happen for number four? It's going to make zero.
No, I mean, with the news that was coming out, it would have done
extremely well, because I mean, everybody, you know, would say, Sam is back and everybody is back. Mm-hmm. But no, they've got this new thing, and I was reading an article today, and I agree that it's just too soon to do a reboot of a franchise that started, not even 10 years ago. It was in 2001.
It'll be a decade when the thing comes out.
But, I mean, it's... You see, remakes work best when you don't really remember the original. You have some distance. Original.
I mean, but there is the Hulk, though.
The Hulk doesn't count.
The Hulk doesn't count.
The Hulk kind of imploded on itself.
And, I mean, like, people have said... Because, I mean, they've made it clear that they are going to reboot it. He's going to be in high school... When the next movie comes out. People have said, like, why not do something like The Hulk, in which they give you all the backstory that everyone already knows in the first 1 minute and a half of the film, and then continue with your story. Make up a new story with... get villain plus Spider-Man interest. Make movie.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. They decided that what they wanted to do was replace Tobey Maguire with Zac Efron, and the only way for that to work was to put him back in high school. Which then, I guess, makes sense. It ties back to, you know, his earlier work. Yeah.
Whoa. And I mean, he was in high school for 17 again.
Ah, there you go.
He's not too far. I think he's also a high school student for that movie I want to watch from last year, Orson Welles, or maybe he's young enough to be a high school student. One of the two. I can't remember. But anyways, a question I want to ask you. Most people have said that they're on the edge of whether they're interested or not with this. I mean, most people are sad that Raimi has left.
Yeah.
Right? And they're sad that the studio continually does this. But they're thinking, you know, it might be nice to see a different kind of Spider-Man. The question everyone's asking now is, who would you want to direct it now?
To tell you the truth, I don't know. But what I can promise you is this. I would almost say to you that I'll probably boycott the movie. Unless they, you know, pull like a David Fincher out of the hat. I don't know. They'd have to come really good with... something that has a trailer that can say to me, Douglas, please
watch this movie.
Forget about Sam. Who is Sam? He's some horror movie guy. No, you don't want horror movie with Spider-Man. It has to really like
look. Because I mean, imagine if someone like, because I mean, since you're going with the gritty look, why not get someone like Alfonso Cuarón, who did Children of Men.
Children of Men.
I mean, he hasn't tackled the action hero film much, but...
Yeah, he's done Children of Men, but not much other than that.
I mean, he did Harry Potter.
Yeah, and that's definitely... I wouldn't call that action. He also did, you know, it's a great movie that he did, the biggest movie ever that he probably did, or at least, I shouldn't call it that, but his breakout film. Ito Mama Tambien.
Yeah, but that has absolutely nothing to do with it.
I know, but I love it.
Well, I mean, it's just a shocking news bit that it just happened so
and it was
suddenly.
So quick, because just, I was looking at some articles and I thought it was really funny. 2 days ago, okay, this news came out, I think, yesterday.
Yesterday or the day before, I can't remember.
Okay. Yesterday, they said, Sam Raimi is gone. 2 days before that, there were rumors about how... Or not rumors. They were finally confirming that...
The Vulture
was possibly happening and possibly
going to
be...
No,
what had happened was Malkovich was on an Italian show and said, I haven't signed on yet, but I'm waiting on a script, and if it's good, I probably will. That's what he said. So it was still like
good.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Like, honestly, my only real fear, to tell the truth, is if they just tell Spider-Man versus Green Goblin again.
That I would, I mean, I don't even know if I'd watch that on video. Okay, if they just redid that, I couldn't deal with it.
And you know what's another thought which popped into my mind when I heard this news? I knew I hate the third movie, but I probably would buy the trilogy just to be like...
support Sam Raimi.
Just to be the collector that I am. Like, I've bought bad trilogies with two good movies and one bad before just because I have to complete it.
Or trilogies with two bad movies and one good one as well. Like The Matrix.
Oh, come on. Actually, I should rewatch those last two. I still haven't rewatched them since, like,
because they're 5 horrible.
Years ago.
Because they're bad.
I tell you this, to tell you the truth, if they re-release a trilogy on Blu-ray, I will buy them.
And the Matrix trilogy?
No, the Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, just because. To keep it, like, to be like, Spider-Man was once fun. Even though the third one was shit.
Yeah.
Another news story which came out this week. NBC decided to shift Leno back into his, what is it, 10:30?
No, 11:30.
11:35 spot on NBC to do his late show.
You see, you noticed, did you notice what you did, by the way?
I know, I almost
You almost called it the Tonight Show. Because that's exactly what they're
and
doing.
Conan,
they're showing no respect to Conan O'Brien at all.
Conan has officially resigned, apparently.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't?
He hasn't. If you read it closely, he said, I'm going to stay on, but if they push me back, I will leave.
But they have to push him back.
No, they don't have to push him back. They can do what they did with Jay Leno, what they did with every single host that has gotten the show. Give him time. You know how long Jay Leno took to be like the star and big on top of David Letterman?
When you say push him back, you mean push him back in time on the slot? Or what do you mean by push him back? Confused by that statement, no.
You said it. You're confused by the statement that you
Yes,
made?
I'm confused by myself. no, because...
To push him back, because if Conan O'Brien's show, The Tonight Show, is at 11:35, if they make Jay Leno's show start at that time, Conan O'Brien's show has to get pushed back to a half an hour later.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I got confused for a minute.
No, what I was saying is that they should not do that. They should not push him back. He should stay at his show. First of all, Jay Leno should never have got that show.
That's very true.
Right? Because that just shows how much they do not, how little they believe in Conan O'Brien and his the possibility of him having a good Tonight Show. But... I've lost my train of thought.
Not just me. Yes. But yeah, I agree with you. They should not be doing this. They shouldn't have even had the Jay Leno show that came back. But they need to give him time. But if he's saying that he will resign if they push him back, but isn't it obvious that they are going to if they're going to be doing this with Jay Leno's show?
Well, they don't have to. They could say, oh, we've seen the error in our ways or something, but... I think he's made his stand, and, you know, good for him.
How long has he been doing The Tonight Show now?
7 months.
7 months. Didn't that, Jay take like a year to get
more like
grounded?
Two. Try two. All right. By the way, quick fact. Jay Leno's show is doing worse than The Tonight Show. Just to let everybody know. Right?
What are they going to do if Conan leaves? What are they going to do? Just say, Jay, you want to do an hour?
I think so. And you know what? I'm actually disappointed in Jay Leno. I used to like him. But if he goes through with this, if he allows NBC to undermine... I mean, he already has allowed NBC to undermine Conan and his show. But if he goes to the extent as to actually, you know, cause Conan O'Brien's show to get pushed off and just... thrown down in the gutter, then, you know, that's horrible and shame on him.
But to be honest, I mean, I've been watching a few episodes of The Tonight Show every now and again, and it's not as good as his late show that he used to do.
It's not, and you know why? Because he can't do it like his late show. You and me, we both love The Late Show because of the way, the type of comedy he would use. But he can't use that anymore because he's... If The Tonight Show is now a different audience. It's not just me and you who, you know, would be able to stay up that late. It's you know, middle-aged people and old people that want to watch him. So he can't, you know, pull strings and talk about walruses having sex and that kind of thing. He can, but they just won't think it's funny. So he needs to find the nice middle ground between his humor, their humor, and what works. And NBC just isn't giving him the time of day to do it.
And also, I agree with you, Ryan. On the bright side, I could just watch Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, but I hate Craig Ferguson.
I like his show.
No. He's a nice little Irish man, yes, but he's not... I don't like him.
Whoa. More news that came out this week. Sherlock Holmes 2 is definitely going to be shooting this summer.
Yes. Yay. I guess I enjoyed the first movie.
And in related news, it's been confirmed that Robert Downey Jr. Will not be doing Space Cowboys thingy.
Uh-huh.
And Daniel Craig is probably going to be taking up that
role. Oh, they said it's Daniel Craig coming in?
Well, they haven't confirmed it for sure, but it looks like he's going to be taking up that role.
That could be fun. James Bond in cowboy boots. All right. Yeah, that could work. that's interesting. I was kind of looking forward to Robert Downey Jr. in Cowboy Beast.
Because you look forward to Robert Downey Jr. in anything.
Exactly. But not just that. It was the fact that it was, you know, the tag team. It was him and Jon Favreau.
I'm supposed to smack you now, apparently, yeah. Because Craig Ferguson is Scottish, not Irish.
Shit, man. They're both on the same fucking island. I know, I'm just joking. The same, whatever.
Yes, since Damon isn't here, there's no violence tonight.
Yeah, anyway. I have been stabbed, but I don't care because he's still, you know, not that funny. Moving on, what were we talking about? Cowboys. Yes.
Cowboys.
Yes.
And
I was looking forward
and...
to both Robert Downey Jr. and Jon Favreau and this cowboy and aliens thing. So that's a bit of a disappointment. I guess Sherlock Holmes 2 should really make that up for me, and hopefully it does. I wonder, is Guy Ritchie definitely signed on? Do they have that type of news?
I can't remember if Guy Ritchie was involved in Sherlock Holmes 2, but I'm sure he is.
He better be.
I think they actually knew it was going to be a franchise.
Yeah, they said. I read an article that was an interview with him, and he was saying yes, that it could be a franchise, but you know you have to wait and see what happens in terms of box office for the first one.
It was a hit. The only problem it had was it was right after Avatar.
Exactly.
So Avatar kept beating it.
But it did extremely well.
For itself, yeah.
Yeah.
And I like how they set up the second one in the first film. Kind of like a Batman Begins deal. Mm-hmm. Where in the Batman Begins, they were like, he has a calling card, and you saw the Joker card.
Yeah. And I love how everybody thinks that Brad Pitt is Moriarty. But... everybody's come out, like, there was an interview with one of the producers, what's his name, Paul Lynn, or, I can't remember, whatever, but the producer was like, okay, alright, everybody keeps asking me that question, Moriarty is not the person who you think he is, he's a very talented voice actor, but, so, that, like, I thought that was funny, because even though he said that, that doesn't actually mean anything, it could well be Brad Pitt, it could be, you know, anybody, but they're so trying to just keep this mystery about who is the guy behind the guy, you know? So that's
I'm sure they're going to just cast somebody now as Moriarty. I know he'll be Moriarty in the second film.
Yeah, I know, I'm sure.
So the last piece of news which Douglas added to this, Sarsgaard is now going to be in Green Lantern. He's going to be the villain, apparently.
Yes, he is.
How is this in any way interesting?
You're mean. No, well, I just thought this was kind of interesting, and I know I can see the argument for it not being like a superhero franchise type of thing, but he said in an interview a while back that he didn't think that he would ever do, that he would never do a comic book superhero franchise type movie. And I thought it was funny that maybe a month after he said that, he's now cast in Green Lantern, which could easily become a superhero franchise type movie. But clearly he's playing the villain who is a, you know, one hit wonder. He's not going to come back in the second movie, if there is one. So I'm sure that's, you know, his thinking behind it, but I just think it's kind of weird.
Green Goblin came back in every film for Spider-Man.
True, but, you know, I don't know.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, oh no, oh no.
We're going into trailers, unless there's any other news you wanted to bring up?
Not really. No. Nothing interesting.
Moving on into trailers. One trailer that hit this week that I'm sure everyone is buzzing about is the A-Team.
1 year ago, an elite commando unit was sent to prison for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security facility. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers for hire.
This is beyond nuts, boss. It gets better.
Now we're talking.
You miss me? Because I miss you.
Okay.
What did you think of this?
The A-Team teaser. It was actually kind of cool.
Were you happy looking at Bradley Cooper's abs and all?
Of course I was. Come on. That guy, he's molten hot. But the funny thing is, no, I'm joking.
It's nice we can make these jokes since Damon isn't here. Because you know how Damon would handle these jokes.
He'd, you know, curl up in a corner and cry. But... I actually really like that guy. I think he...
I liked him from... I saw him in that TV show that you didn't want to watch.
Oh, Alias?
Alias. I mean, I didn't really like Alias that much, but he was really cool in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's always in fun stuff, and he generally is fun to watch while he's, you know...
He's amazing in The Hangover. Movies.
I wouldn't say amazing. I don't know if I'd call anybody in that movie amazing, but they were funny as hell.
I mean, as soon as I finished watching this trailer, I was like, yup, it's a G.I. Joe of 2010.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it looks like. Like, the first, say, half of the trailer, I was just like, oh, boy, regular old crap. Michael Bay could have directed. But then, you know, towards the end, it got a little bit more...
They have a tank that comes out of a plane.
Yes, I thought that was hilarious.
And they shoot down a plane from the tank. Oh, it's intense. This movie's just going to be over the top.
Yep, and of course there's Liam Neeson, who will find you and kill you. So, I think that just boosted it up a little bit.
The dude, I don't know who he is, who's playing the Mr. T role. Yeah. If you look closely, you see on his hand, and I don't know if this was in the A-Team show, because I really didn't watch that show. On his hand, you saw tattooed pity.
I pity the fool.
I think that's going to be the real problem for this film. Like, if he tries to imitate Mr. T for that entire movie, it's just going to come off as annoying, I'm sure.
Well, maybe not. We'll see.
Also, like, what I really liked was when the trailer just started and you saw Bradley Cooper going through the rain in his uniform and you saw that frown on his face. I thought that was really cool.
You really do love him, don't you?
I do. Anyways, moving on.
Next trailer.
The Ghostwriter, the new Polanski film, got a trailer today.
Who is this Makara? Should I have heard of him?
Yeah, he was some kind of aide to Lang when he was prime minister. It was a book that killed him.
That's encouraging. I'm your ghost.
Ready to start?
Absolutely.
Hello?
Losing Mike was a blow, of course. But it's not just that.
You're not planning on taking that manuscript out of here, are you? Because you do realize how serious this is getting, don't you?
Did I hit the beach? I met a man, and he said that there was no way that a body from the ferry could have washed ashore on that spot.
No way!
You think his death was suspicious?
Don't you?
I have to say, I really don't know how to feel about this movie.
Well, let's
I mean,
see.
I like Polanski's films.
But he did have sex with a little girl.
That's also the conversation. I mean, we're talking about the man who gave us Chinatown, The Pianist.
And statutory rape.
Polanski is a great director.
Not so great a lover.
But?
Quaaludes.
Alright, whatever. It looks like it could be an interesting movie. I mean, it's Ewan McGregor and Pierce Brosnan, along with Tom Wilkinson and Adele from Dollhouse.
Kim Cattrall. Olivia something is her name, by the
Olivia
way.
Olivia DeWitt.
DeWitt is her name in Dollhouse, Andrew. Come on.
Her name is DeWitt from Dollhouse. That's her name until I figure it out.
Okay, but Kim Cattrall is in this film as well, and she has like some sort of 60s or 50s working girl accent going for her, which is kind of weird.
I mean, the trailer really didn't give me much to be excited for. But it, at the same time, just the fact that it's a Polanski film and it looks like it would be a cool thriller because it's Polanski. Because, I mean, if you've ever seen... I know you probably haven't seen Chinatown.
No, I haven't.
But
I haven't.
Chinatown is an amazing film. Like, seriously.
Seriously?
Seriously.
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 Okay.
And, like, I would watch anything Polanski does. I mean, as much as you have to hate the guy for what he actually did in real life... His films are kind of amazing.
I hear you. I don't know. Watching this trailer, it looks like clearly it's some sort of thriller, but the trailer isn't really putting, I don't think, its best foot forward. It definitely looks like it could be good, but the trailer, not really saying much. So, I give the trailer a pass, but, you know, Roman Polanski, the name itself kind of sells itself, so we'll see. Maybe I'll watch it.
Damon is curious as to why you've never seen Chinatown.
Because
you don't watch good movies, say it. Say it.
Because I have better things to do with my time.
Any other trailers you want to bring up?
Didn't we watch another one a while ago?
Girl on the Train, you want to talk about that one? Or
Well, I guess we could talk about that one. I wasn't thinking of that one. I was thinking of Chloe, but...
let's talk about
Girl,
Chloe.
Girl on the Train, actually, I just want to say something really quick about that trailer. The trailer, it looks like it's probably a good movie. The trailer's not so great, but the music in the trailer, oh boy, really good. So, watch the trailer, and if anybody knows who that person in the trailer is that is doing all of the music, email us. I'd like to know, you know,
what is
Douglas at gmanreviews.com or unnamed@gmanreviews.com. Just let us know.
Any tell them.
Okay.
Yeah. Not interested at all. Like, seriously, this movie, it looks boring. The woman pretends that she was attacked by an anti-Semitism group or something. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing the word right.
That's because you're racist.
Probably. I know, you think I was all this time. I'm probably admitting it now. I don't know if I am. I'm just not interested at all.
Okay, anyways, Chloe. What are your thoughts?
Amanda Seyfried, I always thought she was a bad actress. Probably going to continue doing that now. Except she's going to be naked. There's Liam Neeson, he'll find me and kill me if I ever talk about him again. And there's Julianne Moore, who I think is an amazing actress. Recently I rewatched Magnolia, and she is brilliant in that film. Also, another film I don't know why you haven't seen.
Again, better things to do with my time.
It really doesn't look like that great a film. It kind of reminds me of the trailer for another Liam Neeson movie from last year with Antonio Banderas, The Other Man. Which also looked very uninteresting.
Yeah, you see, the funny thing is, right? So, immediately when I think Amanda Seyfried, I think average to poor. And
even though she was in Veronica Mars.
But even Veronica Mars, I mean, that show, it was awesome because I kind of got into it. But the acting wasn't great.
Yeah, I know.
the story was really like
it was an episodic thing,
and I just enjoyed it because most of the time it was fun. And she,
Amanda Seyfried.
No, why would I have anything good to say about Amanda Seyfried? Stop.
Veronica Mars.
I'm thinking of, yeah, but I'm trying to remember her real name.
Kristen Bell.
Yeah, she. I really loved her personality in the show, and so that was really what, you know, kept it up for me. but anyway, Amanda Seyfried doesn't really sell anything for me. Liam Neeson is in it, which is great. Like you said, Julianne Moore, oh, I love her. So I guess I would maybe give this a chance if there was a second trailer that was a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I don't know. Maybe I'd watch it on a rainy day on HBO. Oh yeah, I saw that from a long time ago.
It's nothing really to jump about or anything for sure. Amanda Seyfried is nothing really interesting. Like, I don't even think she looks that good, generally. Anyways, moving on into our feature review this week, we're going to be talking about Adam.
Voyager 2 will pass within 4.3 light years of Sirius, the Dog Star, in approximately 196,000 years.
Adam, I'm having lunch. Speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, the Star Tracker system.
No. Lunchtime's for God talk.
A woman moved into 3A.
All right. Now that's lunch talk.
From Fox Searchlight Pictures.
Beth Buckwell.
Adam.
Comes a story about two strangers.
Can you see the sky from the third floor?
Yes, I would if the windows weren't covered in soot.
One a little stranger than the other.
Adam?
And Douglas, you picked this film, so what did you think about it?
Okay, well, first of all, Adam is a movie, about a burgeoning relationship between two neighbors. One who is a daughter of some well-to-do people. Her dad is an accountant, and her mom seems to be like, you know, the regular old housewife / trophy wife / lady that her husband married for the money type person. The boy, the guy, is... he's a bit of a Forrest Gump, apparently. They make that joke. That's why I said it. But he has Asperger's disease,
mm-hmm.
which I really haven't researched at all. So I'll give it to you as I got it from the movie. Apparently, it's some sort of Asperger's syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
It's some sort of condition close to autism, where they don't understand what's going on in other people's heads. And I don't quite get how that's a problem, like, just from that explanation. But I'm sure, you know, there's more deep stuff to it. And, like, you know, from the way he's portrayed it, you can see that it makes sense. And he seems more like a child a lot of the times. And he does play it with, you know, some certain tics and physical reactions that make him seem like he's definitely not fully functional. But yeah, I thought, anyway, that's essentially what the movie is. The movie is about this relationship and how it progresses, and, you know, the problems that they have to work out because of the disease or the syndrome or whatever their situation. I really like this movie. I thought this movie was really good. I thought Hugh Dancy as Adam was was a really good bit of acting that he put on. The story, I mean, it wasn't anything fancy. There were no explosions. There was nothing, you know, cataclysmic occurred. There was no big change. There was no, you know, big event that pushed them towards some sort of climax. It was just a story about a boy and a girl who, I guess, are falling in love and have to deal with the reality of the situation that they're both in. And it just really worked. And it really pulls on some heartstrings sometimes. You know, there's a point where Adam gets into a bit of a kerfuffle with the police, and I'm sorry, Andrew, if you're not bawling at that point, you are not a person.
No soul.
That part was just really sad, I thought.
All he wanted to do was watch the little kiddies jump up and down.
And it's, you know, not only is it that story, but it's also the story of him not quite overcoming, but learning how to deal with his situation. Because before, he had his father to help him. His father lived with him. And I guess his father kind of sheltered him and made sure that he didn't really have to worry about too much. But now his father died, in the beginning of the movie, actually. And so now he has to fend for himself, you know. He's in problems because he doesn't have that much money and all of that good stuff. And so this lady that he just met helps him to kind of navigate those waters, helps him to become his own person almost, or to, you know, function at least on some level in the real world, or not in the real world, I shouldn't say it that way, but to function essentially in society. And there was just something endearing about that storyline, about seeing him finally be able to function okay, to be maybe not perfect, because, you know, nobody can be, but to do something with himself.
Okay. I have to say, I did enjoy this film. However, I understood Adam a bit more than it sounds like you did. Because it's not just about... The syndrome is not just about his inability to understand what people are thinking. But he, like, if it isn't spelled out for him, he doesn't know what it is. He can't understand facial expressions.
Yeah, he doesn't understand sort of nuance. Like, sarcasm would be lost on him completely. Yeah,
like, sarcasm is just a lie, as far as he's concerned. He can't understand when someone is looking at him in the face and going on like, yeah, I get what you're getting, when he's just talking too much. He can't understand if someone loves or hates him. He doesn't even... I don't think he really understands the meaning of that word, love. Because, I mean, you even get to that point in the film where... You just have to question what he thinks of this relationship between Beth and him are. It really is about. I mean, like, does he love her, or is it just a mutual relationship to him where she's replacing his father that just died? I mean, it's really touching in that way, but the thing that got to me the most about this movie was that part of it. It was watching Adam try to figure this all out, and at the same time watching Beth falling in love with this person who, like, really and truly could not love her back.
Yeah. Or at least at the time. I like that it seems that he kind of is a little bit better with that in the end. You know? That he has kind of grown a little bit.
And I mean, you definitely have to take it from the beginning. There's this quote that Beth gives in a voiceover where she's talking about one of her favorite children's books about an alien and a pilot. Mm-hmm. And how the pilot is teaching... Sorry. The pilot is teaching the alien about love and all of these things while the alien is trying to help get his way home. And she always thought she was the alien when she was really the pilot. That gives you everything you need to know about this movie going in. That she is the pilot for Adam.
Yeah.
And that's really what this movie is about, and that's how it works. I mean, it's nowhere near some of my favorite romantic films out there. It's kind of a comedy at points, but it's more of a dramatic comedy where it doesn't go out of its way to make a punchline, but it's something that just happens and it's funny in itself. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I wouldn't call it a comedy at all. I mean, any movie can have people that, you know, make jokes once in a while, and that's what I think this movie is. You know, every once in a while you laugh because something funny was said, but it's not depending on it for anything. I would definitely not consider this to be a comedy in any shape or form.
It's a nice romance film, but it's nowhere near any of my favorites. Like, I mean, it's nowhere near the ones that we can't mention.
Ooh, no, of course not.
It's nowhere near 500 Days of Summer. Like, seriously. Not going to touch that film anyhow. And I mean, it's a good film. I think it comes out on DVD next week. If you haven't seen it, give it a rental. Would you suggest that or a buy?
For Adam? To tell you the truth, I'd suggest a purchase? Yes. Really, you see, that's the thing. I can't recommend a blind purchase to anybody because I know I would never blind purchase. I've been burnt too many times. But
I've blind purchased.
But what I would say to people is I would buy this film.
Okay. I'd rent it. I mean, I don't think I really need to watch it after twice.
No, I really liked it. And I agree with you. Not as good as some of the better ones out there, but still pretty darn good.
And also, as a side note, I'm really happy to finally find a good movie with a character from The Wire in it. With a person who was in The Wire. Because I was questioning for a long time, when is someone from that amazing TV show going to end up in something good again? Because, I mean, I can't think of any movie I've seen with any of the people that were in The Wire that ended up being good.
Well, there was Miracle at Santa Ana. Wasn't there?
Let's not talk about that.
With the chocolate giant?
With the chocolate giant.
You do not taste like a chocolate.
And that's it, really. That's the podcast.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. This was Andrew.
And this is Douglas. I don't know what happened to Andrew, why he's no longer... Wait, sorry. To... What's your name now?
Andrew.
But you were Andrew. Are you now?
I am now G-Man.
G-Man. Okay, I don't understand what... Yeah, anyway.
Side note for anyone out there who's curious. We finally put up the poll for the listener pick on the site. We have decided that the films for the poll are... Das Boot! Trucker, the film from last year with Michelle Monaghan and Nathan Fillion. And Douglas has chosen Boy A, the 2007 film.
I love how every other film is just like, is this film, that film? Oh, and Douglas chose Boy A. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Are you saying that Douglas's choice is better or worse than everybody else's? Which one are you saying?
It depends on who's listening. So go out there and vote. It's going to be up for a week, and then we'll review whichever film gets the most votes on episode 45, which will be in a couple of weeks. So thanks for listening again, and good night. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. Make sure to check out the podcast on gmanreviews.com, iTunes, the Podcast Alley. Give us reviews on iTunes. We will read them on the show, good or bad. We will laugh at them if they're bad, though, I promise you.
Okay.
Probably not you. We laugh at the review, because that's hilarious for us. And that's really it, really?
I think so. I think we can leave now.
Yeah.
Good night, good folks. You can... Oh, wait, no, we haven't plugged ourselves. You can talk to Andrew on Twitter. His name is G-Man Reviews, and my name, of course, is DJ R. Lost His Name. And I guess that's it for tonight. Good night. Shake.